Let's hear God's word together. We're going to read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15, we're going to read from. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all his people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that can be invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. We thank God for his word to us this morning. Well, it's good to be back at home for those of us who were away last weekend. It seems an awful long time ago. I don't know why that is. It seems ages since we were away at Highley, but it was a great time of blessing for us and just lovely to know God's presence as we sort of meet as a family together. My grateful thanks too to Keith and to Anne for taking the service here last Sunday. Thank you for all that you gave there. But we're back at home now. If you weren't at the church weekend, or if you want to be refreshed in what you learned, we have put a couple of the talks from the weekend onto the church website, plus a few other resources that came out of the church weekend. We've got two of Ivan's talks. We've also got the video that he showed on the Sunday morning. And we've got one or two other things that you can download as well. So we're really seeking to reflect on what God was saying to us when we were away. Thanks too to everybody who sort of took part in the discussion on Tuesday night. Took a lot of stuff home from that. We're going to be looking at that. We've got a leadership prayer evening tomorrow, and we're going to be taking a look at what we got out of Tuesday night. An awful lot of things coming our way as we try and say, well, Lord, what are you saying to us as a church in the middle of all this? Because we want to continue to grow together spiritually, not just in a weekend away, but in our normal church lives, and to find ways that we can do that better and better. Just as Paul prays in our reading this morning, he prays that their eyes will be enlightened. That's why I told the story earlier on in the service today. A prayer for people to see. And we need to see the things that God is showing us. We need to see the things that can't be discerned with a human eye. If we just look at the things that are obvious, we'll end up making mistakes in the things that we do. There was a couple of things for me at the church weekend that sort of, well, for me stood out. One was one of the things that Ivan was saying, where he was talking about the Australian ranch, and I had to explain this to somebody who missed that session, and it's quite important in terms of the feedback. The story goes that if you go to one of the big sort of ranches in Australia, because they are so big, it would be ridiculously expensive to put a fence around them to keep the animals in. You just couldn't do that. And even if you did that, it would simply not be possible to maintain it. It would not be possible to watch the fences for gaps in them that animals could escape through. You know, we in this country are used to smaller fields, and therefore we keep the animals in by fencing them in. In the Australian ranch, so we were told, that's just not possible. So if you want to keep your animals close to where they should be, the way to do it is to dig a well to provide a source of water. Because if you do that, the animals won't go far away from the water supply. They will wander off, but their thirst will bring them back again. And if you have the wells dotted around the site of the ranch, you need never fear that the animals will finally disappear. They will always, in the end, find their way back. So the question that comes from that is, what sort of wells ought we to be digging? You know, what are the places within our church life where we and the community around us can find spiritual refreshment? So that's one thing, one good question that sort of comes out of the church weekend. Another thing is, a thought that I had while Ivan was talking. He was talking in one of the sessions about Jesus being Lord and how often he felt that he had been soft-selling the Christian gospel, that he liked to talk about peace and joy and forgiveness, as do I. But he feels that in some ways he'd sold Jesus short. And he got us to read the story of this man who had a sort of shriveled up arm. And Jesus's enemies bring the man to Jesus to try and trap him. They want the man, they want Jesus to heal the man on the Sabbath so they could say that Jesus has broken the rules and so they could get Jesus into trouble. And Jesus is upset by the way they're behaving. And he says to them, look, what does the law tell us to do? Does the law encourage us to save life or to destroy it? Does the law want us to do good or to do evil? Of course, it's about doing good. So, he heals the man, and the people are angry with him. And Jesus speaks, and Jesus says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. I have the authority to tell you what you can and can't do. And when we come to Jesus as Christian believers, that's what we're doing. We're saying to him, Lord, you have the authority to tell us what to do. And when we say Jesus is Lord, this was the thing that struck me. It struck me that you can say it two different ways. You could say Jesus is Lord, in which case you will have ideas about what it means to be a Lord, what it means to be a boss or a master. And you say, Jesus is like that. The other way of doing it is to say, Jesus is Lord. And what that drives us to do is to discover more about Jesus. And to say, we want to discover who Jesus is and what he tells us to do so that we can obey him. In our reading, Paul describes God as the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever else we want to be as a church family, we want Jesus to be Lord of this family. And we don't want to make up our ideas of who Jesus is. We want to learn them from what is in the scripture, the things that Jesus tells us that we should be doing. So thanks, everybody, for your feedback. We're going to have a good look at it. We're going to try and sort of work out what's the best way to take things forward. And if there's anything else that you're feeling was missed, anything that should be said that wasn't said, please do get that back to us, and we'll sort of see what we can do in terms of trying to progress forward. And if there are things that you feel that God is calling you to do, then please do get on with doing them. And if there are things that concern us as a church family, then please talk to us about those things. Well, one of the things that was actually mentioned three times in the responses from the church weekend is the quote from Ivan about missing the point. Do we miss the point in church life? The Pharisees had missed the point, but do we? And can I just ask, if you were one of the groups who wrote that down, I'd just like a little bit more from you. I'd like to know in what ways you think the church might be missing the point. They might be specific ways that the church is missing it. It might be more generally. But what we don't want to be doing as a church family is coming together and actually missing the very things that Jesus wants us to be doing. Anyway, to Ephesians. Paul is praying here for this church that has come together. He doesn't seem to have too much to tell them off for. They seem to be a good community, but he prays for them for an awful lot more to happen to them. And twice in this letter, he tells them what his prayer is. He tells them in chapter 1, which is the bit that we read a few moments ago, and he tells them again in chapter 3, where he goes into sort of some new detail about the church as a church family. And he prays for them in chapter 3 to know the love of Jesus. He uses great terms for this. He talks about knowing the height, the breadth, the length, the depth of the love of God that is in Jesus. He prays for them that they will be able to grasp that love of God, that they really will be able to lay hold of it. Because he wants everybody in this church family to know that they are loved by God. And he wants them to experience that love of God in their life together. And he wants them to demonstrate that love to the world that is around them. And he knows that as he does this, there are things, practical things that they need to do. So he goes on to talk about husbands and wives, and he goes on to talk about parents and children and slaves and masters. He tells some people who've been slacking, perhaps even stealing, that they need to get their act together and get a job and start earning money and sharing with others, because some people weren't doing what they needed to do. So there are practical things he's saying about this love. But the thing above all that he wants them to know about this love is that he is praying for them. And if I had my spiritual telescope for the telescope that we had earlier, I think the thing above everything else that God would want us to know is the incredible love that he has for us and the incredible love that he wants us to share with other people. He wants love to be the church family. Another thing that Ivan said that struck me over the weekend, he said that if a church becomes known as a place of love, if people realize this is a place where you can come and receive love, then you will not be able to stop the community from coming and banging on your door. And he said the reason that that is true is because a lot of the places where you can go and receive love are often not very pleasant places. Yeah, there are people who will offer you love and abuse you. There are people who will offer you love and ply you with drink. There are people who will offer you love and give you drugs and whatever. But where's the genuine place of love in the community? Where's the place that you can come and you can know that you will be loved and cherished and accepted no matter how much you've messed up? And the answer is, it's the church. The answer is, it's community of people who know that God loves them and who are passing that love on to other people. Jesus was utterly committed to this. One of the themes that Ivan was talking about at the church weekend was no more walls. I had quite a discussion with him over this at the meal table. That wherever there is a barrier between God and people, Jesus was in the business of breaking it down. Wherever there was a barrier between groups of people, Jesus was on the business of breaking it down. Why? Because God loved them. And because he loved them, Jesus would love. And because Jesus loves, we are being told too, we are to love. And we can go through the Gospels. We looked at Luke 6 over the church we can go through the Gospels, and we can see the ways Jesus broke it down. Was there a barrier between Jew and Samaritan? Yes, there was. Jesus worked to break it down. Was there a barrier between men and women? Yes, there was. So Jesus broke it down. Was there a barrier between the well and the sick? Yes, there was. Jesus broke it down. Was there a barrier between Jew and Gentile? Yes, there was. So Jesus broke it down. Because Jesus was looking for a community that was across all sorts of people and who had learnt to live together and to love together. And when Paul writes to the Ephesians, there are different divisions within the church that he talks about. The biggest one was the difference between Jew and Gentile. Paul, before he was a believer, would not put his foot into the house of a Gentile. He thought he could get polluted. And then he met Jesus. And then he said, I've got to love all people. God made them. God's heart is towards these people. How can I be different? We're going to sing towards the end of our service today the song that has that line, how could I now dishonor the ones that you have loved? Next Saturday, we have the opportunity as the churches of Brentwood to come together and say on the street that the love that we have for each other and for Jesus is far bigger than anything that divides us. I believe that that's the message that the town needs to hear. I believe the town needs to know that there is such a thing as the church in Brentwood. And yes, it meets in different buildings, and yes, it's got different emphases in different places, but together we believe in him. So that Protestants and Catholics can walk up the street together. So that brethren and Pentecostal and Baptist can walk up the street together. And to give the world a hint, we stand together in Jesus. This is what matters to us. You know, many people in this town think that the church is dead on its feet. They don't see the reality. They don't see that over the week there are hundreds, going on thousands of people in this town who love Jesus and who want to follow him. So together we're called, express our unity. Together show that Jesus is Lord. And it's why church unity is one of the things that has to be fought for. It's one of the things that it matters that there is love across places where there used to be barriers before. We have a chance to express that next weekend. But Jesus pushed the barriers right out. He pushed the barriers so that people that religious people wouldn't talk to suddenly became his friends, much to many people's annoyance. What Ivan said to us about if we were known as a community of love is deeply challenging. Suppose that this church became known. I don't mean the sense of that one or two things are happening, but suppose this church really got a reputation. And not just us, but suppose this church did. This is a group of people who know how to forgive. This is a group of people who know how to put the past behind them. This is a group of people that no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, you will be welcomed and you will be helped. And you will be supported. What a dream that one day, well, is it a dream or is it a nightmare? Is it a dream, you know, that we'd have 40 or 50 people sort of knocking on the door on a Sunday morning saying, look, can we come in? And finding that everything that we've done in the past has been blown apart and looks different to what it was before. Ivan shared a lot of good stuff about how they have sought to do this in their church. But it would be a hard thing. And when Jesus started doing it, the people around him found it hard. Sometimes it was just physically tiring. Sometimes he found himself facing incredible opposition from people who ought to know better. But we as a church, called by God to love each other, and Paul prays for them. And he says, I'm praying for you to really grasp the love of God. I'm praying for you that you will know how deeply you are loved so that you can take hold of that loved and so you can pass it on to others. I won't ask you to put up your hands on this one, but think to yourself, have you ever felt recently that you weren't loved? Have you ever wondered whether God loved you or not? If that's you today, then say, I want what Paul is praying for to happen to me. And we will be praying for each other later on in our service today, really to grasp that love of God. And once we get it, and once we understand that God revealed his love for us in Jesus, that Jesus came to the earth stepping aside from all his glory, that Jesus gave himself for the people who were in need, that Jesus stood up to those who wanted to put up the walls, that Jesus ended up dead, dying on that cross with nails in his hands and nails in his feet and dying the horrible anguish. That's what he did for us. Therefore today, I am loved. And therefore today, because I am loved, I can pass on that love to other people. Maybe some of us today are a bit tired. Maybe some of us are thinking, I'm struggling to show that love at the moment. Well, may God reveal his love to you again today, that you may know deeply in your heart that God's love for you is settled. And maybe for some of us today, God is saying, go and show my love. Go and demonstrate that love to somebody who hasn't experienced that love before. Here's what Paul prays. He says, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the love of God. And then he gets practical with them. He says, it's about how you speak to each other. It's about the gracious way you speak to each other. It's about sharing with each other, he says to them. It's not about holding the good things that you've got for yourself. It's about passing them on. It's about dealing with the aggression that you feel towards each other. It's about forgiving each other. It's about, he says, living a life of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It's about avoiding sexual immorality. It's about avoiding greed, which he's got a lot to say about. It's about exposing what's wrong with the world. Not because we go around protesting all the time, but because there's such a bright light shining that people see what's going on in the rest of the world. And Paul says, we are his masterpiece. I think it's workmanship in most translations, but the word refers to a work of art. You know, there's been a lot of fuss in the papers recently and on the TV about this. Is it Leonardo da Vinci, the big exhibition that's going on in London? And people look at those pictures and they go, wow, this is incredible. How did a man paint these? And Paul is praying for the church, that people will look at the church and go, wow, How did God do that? And the answer is, it was an answer to prayer. They grasped the love of God. They showed the love of God. May we know the love of God in this place today. May it fill us. May we grow in it. It's time to pray. Let's pray together.